Hello and welcome to our Social Speak Network podcast. I'm Caitlin McDonald and I am one of the founders here over at Social Speak. And today we are being joined by Lizzie Harris. Now I am so excited to have Lizzie on the show today. She just recently started her business back at the beginning of 2018. So she is about 9 months in and already has a full roster of clients. So Lizzie is a PR and communications maven with nearly 10 years of experience under her belt. After working in a myriad of organizations from international nonprofits to Fortune 500 companies, she decided to go in it alone in early 2018. Sporting a full roster of clients right off the bat, Lizzie works with companies of all sizes looking to gain visibility in their industry. Having just founded her own communications agency, Lizzie knows how to make an impact in media. Whether it's for clients in blockchain or fashion, Lizzie resides in Denver, where she enjoys all things outdoors with her partner in crime, rescue pup, Steve. So again, I am really excited to have Lizzie on the show here. She is such an inspiration to so many freelancers who have just gotten started. So let's jump on over and say hi to Lizzie. All right, Lizzie, we are so excited to have you on the show today. First off, we'd love to know a little bit about your background and how you got into your current freelancing business.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll just take it from the top. So I started my career in PR and communications abroad. I was doing PR and marketing for a nonprofit based in Bangkok. So that was a really interesting way to dive in, but I had obviously done a lot of work in college. And so from there, I jumped around a little. So I went to Montana to do outdoor PR. And then I moved to Seattle, which is really where I got my start in all things tech. So that agency I was with for a few years, and I actually moved with them as they opened their Colorado office. So I was there for a while and then I went in house, and that's kind of when everything just started to become really clear for me. You know, there's a lot of, when you get to see both sides of the coin, there's a lot of things that you realize, like, the fact that the job is, you know, the fact that I was hired while I was at the agency from this company who wanted me to go in house, the demand of the skill set and the position is clearly there. And so, you know, after like a couple of experiences working in house, you know, I think we chatted about, I was like, I was one bad boss away from just losing my mind. And so that's where this seed was planted. And so that was a little while ago, that was in 2017. And just since then I've been cultivating this idea, and then recently, kind of dove head first into freelancing.
Yeah. So was it difficult going from, you know, really traveling around, living in Bangkok, living in Montana, living in Seattle, to now being set in Denver? And was part of the reason why you transitioned into freelancing to still have that freedom?
Yeah. I mean, so there was a lot of things that played into it, obviously. So I'm from Denver, so I have a really good support system and network here. I was always one of those people who was like, I'll never work from home. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like I need interaction with people. And now that I've been doing it, I cannot imagine going into an office every day with such structure. You know, like for me, it's so nice, like you said, to have that freedom, and it's different freedom than I anticipated. It's the freedom of, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep, I can work for 4 hours. And that truly is 4 hours less of work I have to do the next day. I don't have to sit in a chair till 5 p.m. It's that kind of freedom. And also, you know, freedom to work from wherever. I was traveling last week, and I'm going to be traveling up here a lot in September, and I'll be able to work from all of those locations. And so, yeah, the freedom to do that, it's definitely a good amount of responsibility, right? Like when you're freelancing, no one's going to cover for you.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, like I was really, really sick, and it didn't matter. Like I had my laptop in the hospital because that's what you have to do. And it's a different kind of freedom, but it's freedom to stack your responsibility as you feel fit. And I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So when you transitioned into freelancing, did you have a plan in place or did you just kind of take a leap of faith?
No, definitely. And I'll tell you right now, I still don't have a plan, and I'm smiling because this woman who's kind of become in the last few months a mentor to me, we talked and she was like, you need to come up with a business plan. You need to come up with a business plan. And I have a hard time. I get so in the weeds about the little details of the business, but the short answer there is no, I don't have a business plan, and I'm not even quite sure what I want it to turn into, you know, like right now. So I recently filed my LLC and I actually just got
accepted.
I was so excited. And so it got accepted. I got all the domains, I got all the social profiles, things like that. But I don't, you know, when I chatted with her and when I chat with anyone, I don't know what I want it to turn into. If I want it to be, you know, a full scale agency, or if I just want it to be me and some contract help, you know, I think the way the work is coming in and the demand for services, I could definitely turn it into something pretty big, pretty quickly. But it's not, I don't have my heart set on that yet. I just know that I needed to make this move for logistical purposes, tax purposes, and to allow myself and to challenge myself to grow this into something, whatever that something may be.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, when I started freelancing as well, I didn't know that it was going to turn into a business. And just kind of being okay with how the process goes and the path that you end up following. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
And a lot of it too, like when I started freelancing, I was terrified. And there's still a lot of that for sure. But, you know, I didn't even then, when I started freelancing, it was like, here's the amount of money I need to make every month so I can eat and sleep and breathe. Yeah. And then I was able to make more than that. I was like, okay, here's how much money I need to make and then save for this. And then you start to compartmentalize. And I think it really is, you know, it wasn't forced at all. It all happened so naturally that I didn't have to come up with a plan. It just made sense for me to be freelancing. It made sense for me to subcontract. It made sense for me to file an LLC. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that things do continue to fall in like that. Not that I'm resistant by any stretch to determine what I want and to make a business plan, but having been open to the options, it's all turned out thus far quite well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You brought up a couple of things there, so I'm going to loop back a couple of times to that one answer. But how have you been able to, you know, start freelancing at the beginning of the year and then now really have a full roster of clients? What has that looked like? Where have the first clients come from?
Yeah, so that was the scariest part. I quit my last like full-time position and I went to Mexico and I didn't do anything productive when I was there. And so I came home and I was like, okay, I'm going to hit it hard. So I did everything, right? I looked on Indeed for contract work. I looked on AngelList. I looked on LinkedIn, Glassdoor. I looked on every site I possibly could. I did referrals. Like I reached out to everyone I've ever worked with, every client I've ever had, and asked them if they knew anybody or if they were looking for any contract PR help. I did cold outreach. So I looked into companies in Colorado and around the country and around the world. Yeah. We clearly didn't have PR communications because you can tell, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can tell by their press releases and their press page and things like that. You either do it. And I reached out to them. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say I got back from Mexico and within 2 weeks, I had a full client roster.
Yeah.
At the time, what I thought was a full client roster, mm-hmm. because I've like doubled what that was.
Right.
And my head is spinning all the time, which is amazing. It's a wonderful problem to have. But yeah, it was a lot all at once. And it was really very intimidating and very intense. And I was, you know, I was like going a little crazy for a couple weeks because I just wasn't, I wasn't sure about any of it, you know, and I didn't right. have the luxury, and I say that with quotes, because I didn't have the luxury of easing into it. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't ease into it, right? Like, I have bills to pay. I have a house
right.
and a dog that needs great toys. So
it's all about the dog, right?
All about my dog. I didn't have that mm-hmm. option. And I think it actually worked really well in my favor. I didn't have time to think about any of it. Mm-hmm. So I just had to do it. You know, and then from there, you know, I was doing a good job on these clients, and then they expanded how much work I could do with them, or they referred me other people. And so, you know, it's just grown and grown at such a comfortable scale, that, I mean, it's been incredible. And I think yeah. I'm really bad about giving myself any credit. I do think I deserve some credit for the way that I approached it and how diligent I was about doing a really good job on these accounts to make sure that they knew that I was looking for referrals. You know, there is a lot of groundwork to lay there. But it's thus far, and I'm knocking on wood right now, it's fallen in place quite nicely. And that's mm-hmm. just kind of, I did everything I possibly could to get clients, and it paid off.
Yeah. Well, I love that you used a lot of different sales avenue. You told everyone that you know what you were doing.
Yeah.
The people that already know, like, and trust you are going to be the ones who immediately send you, you know, new work to do.
Right.
You checked out places that were already posting, hey, we need contractors to help with right.
this. Yeah.
And then you did some cold outreach too, right? So you really got a lot of different networks going and working for you right away. And I'm sure some panned into clients right away, and other ones took a little bit longer to actually convert.
Yeah, and they did. And there's one that I'm talking to who will probably take months, you know, three
yes.
4 months, and won't close until November. But that's okay, because I have, mm-hmm. you know, it's like I also don't have, I have such a myriad of clients. Like, I have clients that pay me hourly. I have clients mm-hmm. that sit on a retainer. I have clients that are project based. I have, you know, and it's like, yeah, they all yeah. run the gamut, and it allows me to prepare, and it allows me to plan. So even though mm-hmm. that money is not coming until November, okay, what can I do now to either compensate for that if there's a void, or what should I plan to offload by November so I can right. bring it on? Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm not going after whales as far as clients mm-hmm. are concerned. I'm not looking for just one big contract, by any means. I'm looking for, but I am, you know, it's important to consolidate so you're the most efficient with your time. And thus,
exactly.
So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Congratulations on all the successes that you've had and working hard to get there. So I'm going to bring it back to that other question that you had answered, and you mentioned that, you know, you knew what you had to make as a freelancer in order to make ends meet and to pay the bills. And we had a great conversation about this the other day. So if you don't mind, can you talk us through kind of the calculations that you did, just so other freelancers who are just starting out know how to think about, you know, what they need to make ends meet as a freelancer versus an employee and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, as a freelancer, there's a lot of expenses that you have to take on yourself that your company usually pays for. So first, what I did is I added up all my wonderful bills that I have to pay every month, you know, my mortgage, my bills, everything. And I did kind of a min and a max. So I basically was like, this is what I want to be paying on these bills every month. If things really hit the fan, this is the bare minimum that I can pay and still, like, you know, not have collections chasing me every day.
Yeah.
This is my min. This is where I would like to be. And then that's just bare minimum, right? Then you have to factor in that everything you make, you should put away between like 30 and 40% for taxes. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting away 40. And so everything you, so 40% more, you have to put that away for taxes. And then you have to go out and find insurance. And if you want to contribute to a 401k, things like that. So I actually did the insurance piece first, because I was like, you know, I have to know if this is going to cost me $6,000 a year
right.
or $1,200. And so I was able to find a broker that really helped me find a plan that met my needs. And I factored that in, you know, and then you have to be really diligent about tracking how much money you spend, the trips you have coming up. I'm really bad at saying no to things. And yeah. So I go all the places despite, you know, it's like, I'm not sitting on a mound of money here, but it's like, I have to be really strategic on where I'm going when and things like that. And so, you know, I calculated everything. And so where I was comfortable with my bills, I like 2.5x'd that.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed. That's what I needed to make to live a comfortable life, as comfortable or more comfortable than when I was in house. And so really what it was just what I was making in house times 1.3 to 1.5. Yes. And that covers, you know, the benefits that they were taking care of, and I could still contribute to my 401k, things like that. So that's really the thought process behind it.
Yeah, I love that thought process. So thank you for sharing it. I think it's great to know, you know, bills that you have shouldn't be more than half of the income that you have, and right. You're going to be spending 40% of what you have coming in on taxes, yeah. And then you have insurance and all those other benefits that you're missing out on.
Right.
But there's so much more that you can gain not being an employee. So,
and too, it's so funny. I was telling someone about this the other day. Something came up that I wanted, of course. And I was like, oh, it's just a monthly payment of this. Mm-hmm. So when I was working in-house or, you know, a 9-to-5 for someone else, I would have to figure out how I could somehow get a raise if it was really that close, you know,
right.
Hypothetically here. But in my eyes, I was like, oh, okay, I just need to take on another client that pays this much every month and it'll more than cancel it out. And so I did that, you know, and having that control, realizing that like that's time I'm going to lose, but having that almost full control over the money you have coming in, like clients will churn and things will happen, but you truly do, if you have a really good pipeline and a lot of referrals and a good system, like a good network that's willing to put you in front of other companies and other entrepreneurs and other businesses that are looking for your services, you really are in control of what's coming in and what's going out. And I found that so incredibly empowering,
yes. You know,
and also dangerous because now I'm just I'm like, what else can I get?
Oh gosh. Yeah, absolutely. And then, another question that I have is, so you figured out, you know, kind of what you needed to make each month based on taking a look at the expenses that were going out and the lifestyle that you wanted to have. How did you figure out the hourly rate that you were going to charge?
So there's a lot of like calculators online based on like what you were making, how long your experience is. And I came to the decision of my own that I think those are all completely bogus. And it was like, so I did it like the old fashioned way. And I just kind of found a way to insert it into conversations with other freelancers. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? How much do you like for your hours? How much do you charge an hour? Conversationally. And I started to get a pulse on the market. And that's kind of how I came up with it. Mm-hmm. So I made the mistake. This is really bad. I made the mistake of signing up to do hourly work for someone. And I asked them for much less than half of what I am charging now, but this wasn't that long ago, but also what I deserve, right? Mm-hmm. I knew, and I was in kind of a pinch and I needed this gig really bad. And I knew it the moment I told this person my hourly rate, she thought I misspoke.
Oh gosh.
And I confirmed it and she's like, oh, well, that's amazing. Well, we can do this, and this. And I just knew in that moment that I needed, it was an oversight on my part and it's biting me, you know, because I want to keep a good working relationship. I'm not going to lose that just for some extra money every month, but it is really hard. And I would say for that, you know, I just didn't do my research and that really took its toll. And it'll come to a point where I'll do good work and we'll have the discussion and eventually it'll get there. You know, but it was just so silly on my part. And when I tell people who like know the situation I'm in, they just look at me like, are you okay? Like, are you sure you can do this? Cause that's what you thought was a good rate. So it's fine, you know, but I've learned and now, and that was only one account, you know, and
yes.
I have so many, and that's fine. You know, it's a very good lesson that I learned, and I won't ever do it again. And I also will say, I think I could have even gone in over what I'm charging now. Mm-hmm. And she's still, even if she said that's too much, we would have ended up right around what I want to charge. So I undercut because I wanted the client. Right. And I think if they're talking to you about numbers, you should feel confident in your rate and your ability and the market rate. And you should go in at or above what you need or want. Because you also, something that I found is, like, I work with a lot of startups, the less money someone has to spend on your services, the more they're going to want, you know, because they're scrappy and they're bootstrapped and they're looking at everyone to be their golden ticket. Yes. And especially when you're an outer vendor, you know, when you're a third party vendor, everything you do is fully scrutinized. And so it's like, if this company doesn't have X number of dollars to give to your services every month, make sure you're ready to get, like, thrown, like, put through the ringer, because they'll want everything from you at all hours, no matter what, you know? And so that's also something that I've realized too, that if someone's going to nickel and dime you on the lower end of your range, maybe take a step back and say, like, do I really need this? Because if they're being so, if we're getting into the weeds this much in working together, it's just going to be 10 times worse.
Absolutely. That is such great insight and advice for people as they're getting started, or even, you know, down the road. There are so many freelancers that view the rates that people are charging on Odesk or Fiverr, and there's no way that you can live any sort of lifestyle that you want to charging those rates.
No, there's no way. And I even looked on participating on, you know, contract sites, and they would say, they would put the rate, and then they'd say, and we take a 20% cut.
Yeah.
Like, I just, this is crazy. I could earn more money mowing lawns.
Exactly.
And I don't live in a nice neighborhood. Like, it was so crazy to me. And so, and I like to think of it this way. Like, I think when you meet people and in your, like, your courtship in business, or you can apply this to whatever facet you like, but I think in your courtship, that's the best version of themselves. They're putting the best version of themselves and their company forward.
Yeah.
And it's dismal as it may sound, it's only going to go down from there. Mm-hmm. So really evaluate how much you need or want this and how long you're going to be able to take it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm also just going to say, I love that you do retainer work as well, because that frees you up to improve your processes, spend less time, you know, actually on the management, and then you still get charged that hourly rate that you want for, you know, whatever that project is, rather than getting more and more efficient and making less and less.
Right. And so, it's nice. Like, I still track my hours for the most part, to kind of see. I'm a big believer. I once said that I think that data could solve all the world's problems, but I forgot about human emotion. But I do like to track, okay, here's what I'm putting in here, here's what I'm getting out of it. And I think too, you know, one, your bookkeeping is 10,000 times easier if you're charging hourly, especially if you have different clients at different rates, which a lot of people do. But two, it goes to show you, okay, so with this type of client doing this type of campaign or launch or what have you, I'm putting this much time in. You know, you just get to be so much more strategic about it. And that's what that's what I really appreciate about it.
Yeah. So let's talk about a couple of pieces of advice for other freelancers. And first things first, so you mentioned time tracking. So you must use a time tracking tool. So I'd love to hear what app you use for that, and if there are any other apps that you use that could help other freelancers.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's just called Time Tracker.
Okay.
And I don't, like I said, like I definitely don't do minutes. That's not, I do half hours is the minimum amount of time that I bill. And that's good enough for me, right? Because I'm not I'm not logging the time that I'm thinking about it, which I think you could. So I use Time Tracker, or no, it's Time Doctor. I think it's what it's called.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure is what it's called.
Yeah.
And then what was your second question?
Are there any other apps that you use?
So as a freelancer, yes. So I use QuickBooks. Mm-hmm. I'll keep my books. It's completely so easy.
Yes.
Like, anyone could do it. I am not, I am not a like math numbers person at all. And it's so easy to use. The interface is seamless. So I use QuickBooks. I use LegalZoom. I have lawyers in the family, but I trust LegalZoom a lot.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of anything else, you know, not specifically. I think those would be the three that I would recommend. Yeah.
Great. And then last question, are there any, I guess, tidbits of advice? You've already given so much advice that listeners are just going to be able to take and run with. But are there any tidbits of advice that you can give for new freelancers who are hoping to kind of see the same success that you've had in your first year?
Yeah, I mean, so I would definitely say do what makes you the happiest, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I know what makes me happy as far as business relationships go. What makes me happy is working really hard. You know, I bust my butt so like 70 hours a week. You know, I work all the time, and I think just paying attention to the clients and the relationships and the type of business that make you really happy. I would say someone once said to me, you can never do too much work. And mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. I do think, you know, finding stability and never really losing sight of like, why did you do this? You know, for me, it was to surround myself with people that I wanted to surround myself with. But also to be more autonomous in my own life. And so the second that I feel that those are starting to slip, I reevaluate, you know, as quickly as possible. I would say if anyone's just considering becoming a freelancer, mm-hmm. they're unhappy in their 9-to-5 or whatever they have, I would say, like, if I can do it, definitely anyone can do it. This was really, really scary for me. And it still is really scary, but like, I'm still alive and everything's going fine. I would say more than anything, something that's helped me more than anything, find a mentor, find two mentors, three mentors. You know, I have a mentor on the East Coast. I have a mentor in Seattle, and he doesn't know it yet, but I'm about to have a mentor in Boulder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and it's easy. You know, you can get this checklist in your head of the things that you have to do, and I have to get business cards and a website and all these things. But mentors are so much more high level, and they see things that you would never, you know? And so I would say above and beyond, like, make sure to keep your eye on like why you were doing this in the first place, and get a good support system in the form of mentors.
Yes, I love that. Just ask for help, ask for advice, and you are just going to be blown away by the number of people who are willing to step in and be there for you.
Right. So, people love helping other people.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Lizzie, before we go, how do people get in touch with you? Do you have social media websites? Do you have email? Potential prospects are paying attention here. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So people can just email me at my personal email, or they can email me at my work email that's not tied to a certain work. It's Lizzie H. Writes, so Lizzy H. Writes, like you're writing with a pen, @gmail.com.
Awesome.
That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. Obviously, I have an Instagram, but it's not business facing.
Okay.
I'm always on LinkedIn, but email is definitely the best way.
Awesome. Perfect. Anything else that you'd like to share before we sign off here?
I just really appreciate you guys doing this. This is such a cool, you know, such an empowering thing for people like me to do. You know, I think it's really incredible that I can get and give advice. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate this. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate you as well. Perfect.
Thank you.
Wow. What an inspiration Lizzie is. She has put so much hard work into building her business, and it has paid off. Lizzie shared some great insights into how to make sure you're charging what you're worth, making sure that you are actually thinking about kind of those next steps in the sales process, and gave the great advice of finding mentors. Right at the beginning, you don't have to even know what your business plan is, but as long as you have those mentors who are guiding you in the right direction, you will end up on the right side of things. If you are starting your own freelancing business and want to make sure that you are kicking it off to the right start, I urge you to jump on over to socialspeaknetwork.com/first-month. This is where we have our 31-day freelancing calendar. It is a perfect way to make sure that you are getting a jump start in your freelancing business, making sure that you know what your values are, your passions, and your why, and pairing that with your expertise so that you can find the target market that's best going to benefit from your services. From here, we jump into doing exactly what Lizzie did, telling your network and building referral relationships. These are going to truly transform your ability to have a successful and long-lasting freelancing business. So again, that's socialspeaknetwork.com/first-month. I'm Caitlin McDonald with the Social Speak Network, and you've been listening to the Social Speak Podcast. Thank you again, Lizzie, for joining us, and we wish you the best of luck as you continue to grow your business.